Now, the 28th Infantry Battalion are celebrating and commemorating 50 years of meritorious service this Thursday at 2 p.m. at Finner Camp there, just on the old road between Ballyshannon and Bundoran. Captain Neil Ledwith joins us on the programme now. Good morning, Captain. Thank you very much for your time.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me.
It's good to have you with us. So how significant, and it will be obvious to many, but how significant is this day of commemoration and celebration?
It's a very significant day for the unit here in Finner Camp. The 28th Infantry Battalion was established in 1973 and has been serving the states and the people of the northwest of Ireland ever since its foundation of the 1st of September, 50 years ago. So we're very proud of all that the unit has achieved at home, abroad, and in our locality as well. Members of the unit are very involved in their communities. And this is a chance for families, veterans, and serving members to gather, to connect, to share memories, and reminisce about the times of the past and look forward to the future.
In other words, a lot of it wasn't like that in our day. But anyway,
possibly there may be one or two war stories told during the by former members during the day.
For sure. And can you give us, for those not aware again, and many will be because the battalion is so much part of the community, some of the activities, the important activities over the last 50 years, Neil?
But the 28th Infantry Battalion was founded in 1973, and its role at that time was to secure the state. It had a major role in what we'd refer to as aid to the civil power, so assisting and Garda Síochána during the Troubles. And besides that, it also undertook a number of aid to the civil authority operations. So, for instance, we've been very involved in assisting the emergency services in County Donegal, Sligo, Leitrim during periods of fire, flood, extreme weather conditions, etc. Apart from that, we obviously have a very significant military role overseas. There are thousands of tours of duty that have been conducted by soldiers from the unit in very diverse environments, from Lebanon, Syria, East Timor, Chad, Liberia, Kosovo, Bosnia, just to name a few of them.
And the day itself, as you mentioned, it'll be attended by serving and retired members of their families, new and old vehicles, actually, which is going to be quite interesting. Weapons and uniforms will be on display, reflecting the 50 years of history there, and a short ceremonial display with refreshments served. Is it only for former and current members, or is it open to the public as well, Neil?
Unfortunately, due to capacity and security issues, we're unable to open the event to the public. But invitations have gone out to former and retired members, so Defence Forces veterans who served here in Finner Camp, but also to the families of deceased members. And we've had a number of personnel who paid the ultimate price in the service of peace while serving the state, while serving with the 28th Battalion. And whilst their loved ones are no longer with us, the families of those soldiers are also, you know, very much welcome. They're part of the 28th Infantry Battalion family.
And perhaps most important day for them as well. Okay, listen, thank you very much. It's going to be a wonderful day, I'm sure, for all involved. And as you say, a poignant day for others as well. But thank you very much, Captain, for your time this morning. I do appreciate it, and enjoy.
No problem. A pleasure as always.
Bye-bye. Take care. Captain Neil Ledwith there of the 28th Infantry Battalion, which is celebrating and commemorating 50 years of meritorious service this Thursday, the 12th at 2 p.m. in Finner Camp. Invite only. Those invites have been issued. So hopefully there'll be loads of great pictures and coverage of that across social media and in the media as a whole. Might it make more sense to develop a stadium on a politically neutral greenfield Belfast site that all sports like Ulster Rugby, NI International Football and the GEA could use? Let schools and clubs use Windsor, Ravenhill and Casement Park, which will cost a small fortune to demolish. Greg, does this mean Ireland, England, Scotland and Wales qualify automatically? No, it doesn't, because there are five nations. There are... All of the nations are, the footballing nations, are in the qualification. There are two wild cards or two spaces available. How that's going to be divvied out, as you heard from Patrick Pacciobona there, that has yet to be fully determined. It should mean we're likely to be there. You would hope it would mean, particularly if three, four or perhaps even five qualify for it. It is the Euros. There's a lot of spaces, so you would be hopeful. Call, question for Paggy. Is it a lack of funding and propriety work, does he think? Well, I think he answered that question through the course of my questions. A caller says, I always park my car at the St. Connell's unit when I have an appointment at the hospital. I often arrive early because I know how long it takes to cross the road. But yesterday, I saw the four disabled parking zones closed off and they're doing renovations. So where do they expect the likes of me to park? I could see no alternative. I'd love an able-bodied person to sit in my chair for a week and realise the impact of closing off these spaces. So they're officially closed off then for work to be carried out, but no alternative put in place, it would seem. That's an unfortunate oversight if that is the case. We were speaking yesterday to some representatives from the Ballymacool estate in Letterkenny. 18-odd families have received notification that the owner of the properties intends to sell them. Therefore, they are evicted. This caller says the buying of the houses in Ballymacool idea is nonsense. Even if the council buy those houses, they have to be offered to the next applicants on the council housing list, which isn't the people living there at present. And that was a question I posed, and it was... I didn't know exactly how that all works. So threw the question out there to cover all possibilities. Disgusted by atrocities inflicted on women and children by both Hamas and Israel, but not as disgusted as I am with the leadership and supporters of Sinn Féin, many of whom seem to be glorifying the party's association with Hamas. Now, I don't know of the individuals within the party. I can just go by what I've heard from those representing the party officially. And there seems to be condemnation there. Such an important word, it seems, on this island, but people sought it and got it. Caller wants to question asked why, to any government rep, who comes on to be asked, would they be happy with an extra €12 a week living in a council house with a means test required to earn an extra five? And how much will your rent change? Thanks, Katie. How much will your rent change now, as a result of this increase? Because what seems to happen is that your means tested and then your rent goes up. Is that going to happen again? Let me know. 08660 25,000. Hi, Greg. Firstly, I'm happy with most of yesterday's budget, reduced college fees being the main one. However, I think this was a one for everyone in the audience type budget when it should have been more targeted to the people who need it more. Can't wait for the big infrastructure projects like the Bonagie Link Road and the Lifford Road upgrade to start with the new fund that was created. It'll never happen in my lifetime, they say. In the meantime, I wonder how many politicians will be cutting the ribbon for the Polestar traffic lights next week. They are being switched on Tuesday. And what the way it works is, it seems, that obviously it's a roundabout. We know how roundabout works. But the traffic lights will try and make all lanes, all four lanes effectively, isn't it? It's more that than that, but four accesses. For the traffic to move freely. Are you all right, Caroline? Do you want to speak to me? Everything okay? She's looking at me as if, will he shut up? I can shut up if you want. Oh, okay. We have an engineer. Thank you, Caroline. We have an engineer to talk about the traffic lights on Monday. And I think what they will say is that there's 2 weeks really of work before we can kind of really judge it, because they're going to be monitoring it. They're going to be sort of deciding what goes where and how it goes where and when it goes where. But what they're trying to achieve here is, and this is what we don't know the impact it might have, is to have all traffic moving freely. So there are entrances onto that roundabout that has less traffic, but they get sort of equal access to it. So they're going to slow them down and allow busier lanes to come through and then let the other ones and so on and so forth. It's a tough piece of work. I presume there's a precedent elsewhere in the country or beyond. But it's going to take a couple of weeks, I presume, to calibrate them. So Of course, we'll get an initial reaction and that feedback's important, but I think really the proof of the pudding will be in a couple of weeks, because then after that, you know what's switched on then, don't you? All the traffic lights on the four lanes. It's going to be very interesting. We're going to have an engineer here on Monday to answer your questions, to explain it, probably plead for patience, but we shall see. But as I say, you know, you are our eyes and our ears. So when they go on Tuesday, and they might go off and on, dependent on calibration and tests and all that type of stuff, but you're going to be our eyes and our ears. And I think, hopefully, fingers crossed, hopefully things might move a little bit more smoothly. But I think anyone, and as I mentioned this in the show yesterday, anyone travelling in through Letterkenny, it does seem lately that it's really, really tough. Like traffic was, this is without traffic lights on the four lanes or the Polestar roundabout. Traffic was almost backed up as far as the school at Ballyrain come in to Letterkenny down the hill this morning as people were looking to get to work or hospital appointments or what have you. You don't see that too often, but that's the way it was. Right, okay. So we shall see. But I don't know what's causing all the gridlock now. We've two guests in studio now. I want to say good morning to Gwen Mooney, Chair of Donegal Older Persons Council. Good morning, Gwen.
Morning, Greg.
Great to have you on the show. I know you've been looking forward to this probably for days. And also Áine McLaughlin, Community Development Officer with Inishowen Development Partnership. Good morning to you, Áine.
How are you, Greg?
I am good. Inishowen Development Partnership is involved in a lot of stuff. Before we get into the nuts and bolts of this, Áine, how many fingers and how many pies?
Oh, God, a lot. We have a number of different divisions. We have community education, we have family support, we have our social prescribing, we have our Sláinte Care programme under Healthy Food Made Easy. So there's a number of initiatives, employment support. So, yeah, we're covering a lot at the minute.
And I'm sure you're very busy with the Older Persons Council, Gwen.
Well, no, we're not too bad. Don't keep us too busy. We're volunteers. So we're a group of people who represent the voice of older people at the age-friendly programme. So, no, we're not too busy, but our conference now coming up is a big part of our programme. We ran one in Letterkenny in May, and this is our second one now. So we're looking forward to that on the 19th.
And how important is it that the, you know, older person's voice is actually heard from older persons, if you know what I mean? Speaking to people rather than maybe about them.
Absolutely. And that's the importance of these events, is that we give information, but the most important part of the day is about getting information, about raising, you know, getting the issues from the people on the ground. Mm-hmm. What's bothering them, what's happening in Inishowen might not be the same as what's happening in Letterkenny. The issues that are out there in Inishowen around transport, around housing or whatever, might be completely different to what people, older people in Letterkenny say, for example. So it's really important that we have the people there and that they come out on the day.
Yeah, for
and,
sure.
You know,
oh, we're going to drag them out now before the end of this interview, because we do have disparity between, you know, Letterkenny. Then I'm thinking West Donegal, South Donegal, which for some reason always seems to be part of Sligo, Leitrim plans. Yeah, yeah. East Donegal, you know, the Finn Valley in the show, and then as well. It's about highlighting the issues. It's about saying, you know, where the deficits are, which is important. But we talked about this briefly a little earlier in the week. Too. There is quite a lot of stuff out there too, but it's connecting the people to the services or to the social events or the supports in the community. That can be a piece of work too, not just for older people, I think right across the board, Gwen.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the Older Persons Council is part of the age-friendly strategy, and it's one of the ways that you can participate is join the Older Persons Council. You know, you can go on to the Donegal County Council website and join the council there. So anybody over the age of 55 can join the Older Persons Council. Like, we're part of the executive, but the council is anyone over, say, 55. And it's a good way of getting information out to people. The more people we have over 55 that join the council, the better the information gets going out to people and the more people we reach. So get on to your Donegal County Council website and join us.
All right, okay. There's going to be a lot going on. But first, by the way, just in case you were wondering, should you go? It's a free information and social event. It's in the Ballyliffin Hotel Thursday week. Runs from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Now, that venue's beautiful, to say the least. But also, there's music and dancing from Shuni Crampsey and Moya Brennan, who is Donegal Age Friendly Ambassador. So for those reasons alone, certainly would be a good idea to go. Anya, talk to me a little bit more about what will be going on at the event, if you don't mind.
Yeah, indeed, Greg. We have a number of stalls at the event. As you said, there's lots of support services, opportunities, and you know, we want to link people up with those. We have an array of stalls from ranging from the Gardaí to the Citizens Information to a loan to Age Action to our library services, etc. Then we'll have a host of speakers. We have Bill Vaughan, who will be chatting around how to look after your mental health while older, from Mental Health Ireland. We also have our main speaker, Clodagh McGuinness, who will be chatting about the living will and how to have documented your personal wishes around your advanced health care and end of life should you become incapacitated or not able to express those wishes. So that's really important and really pertinent. We also have an interview as well. We have Evelyn McGlynn from McMarketing, and she will be interviewing Moya Brennan and asking her about her thoughts and her advice as she grows older and what her experiences are. Mm-hmm. So we had
her in on a birthday not so long ago, and you wouldn't realise that the categories that she falls into, although that's a horrible way of putting it. But it is important to be inspired too, isn't it? You know, and I think that's a great element to this as well, because sometimes we sometimes have to take a bit of control or meet the services halfway or meet life halfway, don't we, Gwen? You know what I mean? We can't. And it's easier to say sometimes than to actually do. But, you know, you have to grasp it by the nettle if you're well
Absolutely.
Enough to do so.
And here, you know, sometimes a lot of negativity around growing old. And, you know, you hear, oh, we have an aging demographic and, you know, older, we're going to have so many older people. You know, it's like, oh, awful. But
well,
like,
I do my best, Gwen, to
you do,
get rid of that, by the
fairness,
way. At every turn.
Absolutely.
Because I hate the language that's used. But go ahead, Gwen.
Just about tapping into the likes of Moya, about, you know, we had Paddy Bonner on there earlier, another, you know, went into the older age group. And those are people, it's great to be inspired by people who are still active in their communities, and not just the stars. There are so many people out there that I see every day of my life who go out and visit and make phone calls, you know, that are so much part of the volunteer section of our community. And there, a lot of them are retired people who still just keep going and inspire you every day. So so this older demographic is something we should be tapping into, celebrating, and, you know, not looking on as a negative.
I think we as a society are getting a bit better at
that. We are.
I think sometimes some of the terminology and language that's used by politicians and some journalists is unfortunate. But, you know, more and more people are living older and living healthier,
fitter
and more active and out there and getting involved in things, which is great to see. So the event is open, is it, Anya, to everybody?
It is indeed. The unfortunately for some, but for happy for those who did book it actually is fully booked at
what?
The minute.
What are we doing? Get out. I thought we were trying to fill this.
Not at all. It filled out in a matter of 3 to 4 days. So we're really looking forward to the event. There is a cancellation list. So by all means, if you are interested in attending, please contact our offices and we'll add you to that.
That's a really good sign on you, isn't it? Exactly. That, you know, you put it on and it books out. Because I presume there's quite a bit of capacity there.
Yeah,
as well.
We have 120 people booked in. So it's going to be a great event. We're really looking forward.
And people who get the information, they probably have friends and network. They can share that information as well, isn't it? You know, you can be an advocate.
My mother went to the last one that we had in Letterkenny, and she came home with, you know, oh, yeah, well, we did this, and you know, we heard this, and we, you know, so it was great, like, to see her, you know, engaged in the whole thing, and she said it was well worth day for somebody of her age. So.
All right, okay. Well, we'll not mention the age because I want to be alive to be on air in the future. The Donegal Older Persons Council, how many is in it, or is it a group? You mentioned people can join it, or...
Well, the Older Persons Council is anyone over the age of 65, mm-hmm. in, or 55 in, yes. Donegal. So you can just, you can join the council and you'll be on the mail list, and we'll, you know, you'll be invited to these kind, brilliant. Of events. And then the Executive Council then is by 20 people, approximately. Depends on who can come, with it, around about 20 people from that cohort of people who were interested in joining the executive. So,
and then they report back and everyone gets the information and the advocacy, so, and the, yeah, the points, exactly, being made. Okay.
So. And we're getting, like, during COVID, like, all those things sort of fell away, like, you know, so we're trying to re-energise, yeah. the whole.
And we also need to get people who were active and involved back out doing it again.
Yes, that's why,
because it's
these
so important for them.
So important.
Yeah, and that's why it's great to see the Initial Development Partnership rowing in on this, mm-hmm. one, Arnie, as, mm-hmm. well.
Absolutely. I mean, the Initial Development Partnership are part of the Donegal Age Friendly Alliance. So that's where I first met Gwen. And we chat about bringing an initiative like this to Inishowen with the OPC. So we're delighted to be able to bring this event.
I'm going to mention more about it because there's some great stuff, but I feel like I'm kind of rubbing salt into the wounds now of those that can't attend, because there's chair yoga, as I mentioned, music and dancing with Shuni Crampsey, lunch, spot prizes on the day as well. And for those lucky enough to attend and that needed it, transport was provided on demand. So it's going to be a great day, Gwen. The mood is a positive one, I take it.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And just a positive one, but also a serious one, because we are looking at living wills. And
for sure.
You had somebody on during the week, that's too, right. talking about that, and it's very interesting.
It's a tough subject, isn't it, Gwen?
It is a
tough,
you know? Tough subject, but at the same time, you know, when you get people round the table, mm. it generated a lot of conversation in Letterkenny at the last conference. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. you know, that conversation is it's a great starting point to thinking about how do I do it, the practicalities of doing it. Mm. So that's what we'll be talking about, is how do I actually do this, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm. And I would say, it's something that I'm going to look at myself, there's a sort of a comfort stroke, maybe security, when that's in place, when your future is secured, not your future secured, but your wishes are.
Yes.
Enshrined, because we never know how, yeah, you know, our capacity to make decisions and what have you. Yeah. And then you can park it, then, you know,
it's done.
You yeah. can, yeah, exactly. You can
it
just
does
get on
offer
with everything
peace
else.
Of mind, absolutely. Yeah. It certainly does offer peace of mind. And last year we had a workshop as well around making a will and how you go about that and starting that conversations. And I think that is important. It's even chatting to your family, you know, start the conversation. Being this might be a springboard for somebody that maybe finds it difficult to talk about this, to then go, right, I'm going to really address this issue.
Yeah,
and
that's right,
and everybody that goes to the conference will receive a pack, a thinking ahead pack, mm-hmm. so they can take that back with them. It'll be a customizable document that they can use then as kind of a layout of the different issues, and so that they can mark everything off.
Yeah.
Looking at the,
and at the very least, a conversation starter.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we need to, and I'm trying as best to look at these things in a positive way rather than a picture postcard from the Grim Reaper. You know, do you know what I mean? I'm trying to.
I mean, they can go as far as arranging their funeral. That is, you know, yeah. that's one of the things my mum did when she came back. She said, you know, that there's something out there's the hymn now I'd like her. There's, you know, those are kind of things that. Little conversation you don't want to hear.
But why not,
but,
I suppose.
You know, at the same time, you know, you want to do your best for them on their last day as well.
Of course.
Like, you know.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
You know, you don't, it doesn't need to be a sad affair now. Do you know, those kind of things.
Yeah.
Like,
but when then it turns into something a little bit more.
Exactly.
Uplifting, isn't it? Okay, well, as I say, it's a sellout, so there's no point me reading out how you can contact and how you can get a seat or what have you, but hopefully your friends, if you're not going, your friends are going and they'll be able to tell you all the crack.
There might be a cancellation, you never know.
Exactly, that's right, the cancellation list, Anya. I forgot you mentioned that. Thanks, Gwen. Anya at Inishowen.ie, is that how you would put yourself on that list?
Yeah, Anya at Inishowen.ie, or contact our offices on 07493 62218.
Now, anything else that we want to mention, Gwen?
Just a quick thank you to Maya, Maya Brennan is flying in from her tour in America.
Wow, is that a commitment?
Tonight?
Yeah, Tuesday.
Last night. And she's coming to Inishowen tomorrow. So that is a huge commitment. And we'd just like to thank her for that fantastic.
It's a great lift, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. Have you a favourite song of Moya's? Gosh. Don't want to put you on the spot. I'm terrible at song names. I can
useless.
Sing along and hum to anything, here. But you give yeah. me, you ask for a name of something. We'll play a bit of Moya maybe before the end of the day is out. Okay.
Yeah.
Arnie, anything you want to mention?
Just following on from what Gwen said, we're delighted to be able to do this event. And we also, as part of the feedback from the event, will be looking for people's participation and ideas around future initiatives for older people than it's shown should be that events or training or whatever. So looking forward to meeting everybody next Thursday.
I don't want to spring this on you, but just on the off chance there's something planned, is there any menopause talks coming up again in Buncrana through Inishowen Development?
We did run menopause classes last year and certainly be looking at that again. So, yeah.
Right.
Hopefully.
Okay.
In the future.
Gwen, what was it like? The interview? It's okay.
Great.
Told you, didn't
thank
I?
You.
Thank you.
So for any future guests, come in, enjoy it. Don't be nervous. Okay. Anya McLaughlin, always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Anya's the Community Development Officer with Inishowen Development Partnership. Gwen Mooney, Chair of the Donegal Older Persons Council. Hope to speak to you again too, Gwen. Thank you so much to two of you, both of you, for calling down. And if you have a ticket or you you have a space at the Ballyliffin Hotel Thursday week from 10 a.m, enjoy it. You're going to have a great time. But as you say, as was said by Gwen there, there is a serious element to this as well about conversations we could and should be happening, and to make sure that we are looking after ourselves both physically and mentally. And that applies to all ages. Okay, back with more soon.
Business Matters, in association with the ATU Donegal Faculty of Business. If you're a parent or guardian of a first-year student in the area of business, law, design, tourism or sport, join ATU's online information evening on Wednesday, the 11th of October at 7 p.m. Call 918-6207 or email facultyofbusinessadmin.donegal@atu.ie.
Okay, it is time for Business Matters. But before we do, just an addition to our lost and found items. If anyone saw a pair of glasses, because Kieran's arrived here with an empty box. Where are they likely to be? Do you need us to run out and check in the car?
No. Thankfully, it's something near the 20 point this stage, Greg. So,
all right, good stuff.
We have all eventualities covered.
It's good to have you back. You've got a great guest on the podcast, which we'll talk about shortly. That podcast's live for you right now on our website, highlandradio.com. But before we get to that, we'll get through some news and a housing development approved for Letterkenny, Kieran.
Yeah, Greg, planning permission has been granted for a new housing development in Letterkenny. Donegal County Council has given the go-ahead to Property Hold Limited to build 21 dwellings, and that includes the completion of five unfinished houses at Killyleston.
And a new hub opening in Buncrana.
Yeah, the Inishowen Innovation Hub opened in Buncrana on Friday. The new space is 700 square metres in size and is designated for local tech businesses and as a satellite location for global companies looking to create a European base. And just a side note, the centre is already home, Greg, to 25 clients, which is good news for Inishowen.
Yeah, and it's you cover the hubs quite extensively, and we do here. But outside of that, I don't think really maybe people get how important they are in different places around. They really are offering great facilities and often very well used.
Exactly. They're so modern and there's so much in it. So it is, once people get there, you find people, if they set up base there, they're inclined to come and stay there as well, Greg, you know.
Yeah, okay. Now, I'm going through the notes here about awards, which is great, because every week you mention someone's picking up an award.
I was waiting.
You talk about people picking up awards, and I'm going to get to Filligan's in a moment because it's a very significant award. But whose palm do you have to grease to get on Business Matters Business Notes awards lists?
Well,
especially national ones, Kieran.
I was trying to sort of spring it on you, Greg, but only congratulations to yourself.
You were never going to come in here and spring that on me, Kieran.
No, well, listen, I didn't want to stick it on the notes, but anyway, I was going to do it when we were finished. But listen, on a serious note, I'm sure it was a proud moment for yourself and Kieran, and it's a great award to be getting.
It is. It's lovely to get a national, national recognition. But do you know, for Donegal, and I know that sounds a wee bit silly, but obviously, this is a listener-driven show, and you know, sometimes it does feel, you know, and there's arguments for and against that we are a little bit behind and back. And to some extent, sometimes I've felt in media on a national level, maybe we were sort of somewhat overlooked because you know, maybe a little bit controversial. I don't know what it might be, but it was great for the recognition, not of me or Caroline, but I think for the programme and the people that contributed, the likes of yourself, but most importantly, the people of Donegal and the North West generally. And that's what I liked about it, because it's been a dry spell. Do you know that sort of a way? Yeah. Previous success, of course, Sean did really well, but you know what I mean.
So enjoying the moment.
Yeah, starting to embrace it now. Good. Award winner.
Had you a good night?
Yeah. You know, we were up early the next morning, so right. I was one of the first in bed.
Very good.
It was nice to have that experience. You know, when you land and the concierge is... because I was effectively Caroline's chauffeur, so I drove her down, dropped her off at the venue, and then I went to the servants' quarters about 10 minutes away, okay? So then went back the next morning to pick her up from the door again and carry her bags and put them into the boot. But I met the concierge, you know, and it was so nice that to hear stories of other people being there at 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in the morning, and I'd been wrapped up in bed at 12:30, being a really good boy. So it,
I believe you.
It's on this occasion, Kieran, it's true. Anyway, enough about this award-winning program. Let's talk now about a national and a very prestigious award. The most important thing, of course, jokes aside, winging its way to Glenties.
Yes, Glenties-based company Filligan's picked up 4 awards at the Irish Food Awards for its chutney, relish and mustard products. Filligan's was set up by Sarah and Philip Moss in 1987, and the business expanded gradually from their kitchen and has moved to a custom-built premises in Glenties in 2019. And just a side note, Filligan's director, Willie Cremin, was one of the first guests on the podcast, Greg. I think it was edition number 7 back in August 2020. Had a good old chat with Willie, and it's great to see the business still being successful and still winning awards.
Indeed, and 3 of my favourite things, chutney, relish and mustard. Right, so congratulations, guys, at Filligan's. Now, Letterkenny woman chosen as a future shaper.
Yes, a Letterkenny woman has been named by the International Association of Convention Centres among 9 future shapers accepted into an 8-month accelerated leadership course. Ciara Davidson Ní McKeeman, who is a company secretary at ICC Belfast, will participate in a series of master classes and business case development, and she will also have the opportunity to promote her solutions to challenges currently faced by convention centre managers. And that's going to be on a global stage next year at a conference in Costa Rica next July. Okay. So a nice thing to look forward to for 8 months out there.
Interesting little final item, Kieran.
Yeah, I heard you on with Neil Richmond there, just when I was out for a run earlier on there, and I got the tail end of it. So it was just, I suppose, relevant to, I know there's a lot of talk, I'm sure, before that, Greg, in terms of the budget, but the government has announced €250 million allocation for temporary supports, and that's for businesses as they deal with the rising cost of inflation. And we have touched on it, Greg, on both our shows in recent times. There's also an extra €35 million from the Department of Enterprise, Trade and Employment, which Neil Richmond referred to, for the to support the state agencies. Notably, €9 million of that, Greg, will be allocated to local enterprise offices, so hopefully there'll be a share of that coming locally.
And so, the local enterprise offices, often in this item, they're referred to as the LEO offices, just so everyone knows what we're talking about here.
And the government is also set to roll out a new targeted capital gains tax relief for angel investors to incentivise investment in innovative early start companies. So obviously they're dangling a carrot there for people who have money and have collateral that they may maybe invest and maybe get people up and running.
All right, okay. We're going to take a break and then come back with a preview of the interview, which will feature in full on the podcast. Okay, we're still in the company now of Kieran O'Donnell, presenter of the Business Matters podcast. Now, you are joined this week by...
Yes, Greg, I'm joined this week by the owner of Inish Communications, Trish Hegarty. Trish worked as a journalist with Irish Times, RTE and BBC Radio Foyle before setting up her PR, social media and digital content agency in 2004. Inish Communications recently launched its Inish Expertise Toolkit for SMEs with limited time and budgets. In this clip, Greg, Trish talks about the 2 latest recruits who joined her company earlier this year.
The general PR business has got busier as well. So if I was to have any chance to spend time on selling and delivering the toolkit, I had to increase my team. So last year I took on Beth Reynolds, who's a graduate of ATU, media graduate. So she's our creative lead and social media manager and accounts executive. And then just a few months ago, I took on Conal Kennedy from Ardra, who's got decades of experience in PR, both here in Ireland, plus also in Canada and New Zealand. And further down the road, I do want to export the toolkit because it really does not look like anybody else has ever done this. So there is big, you know, export or franchise potential. And Conal was just the right guy at the right time, and he's great. Both great.
Trish Hegarty's got a lot of feathers in her cap, not least the Love Donegal initiative, which its latest incarnation or its latest day of it not so long ago, hugely successful. Other counties have tried it. I don't think, not with the same success, getting Donegal, Love Donegal, both in English and Ask Gaelic trending around the world. So, as I say, that's just one feather in the cap, but maybe not everybody knows that Trish is behind that.
Yeah, one of a number of things we spoke about, Greg, and we did speak about the success of the Love Donegal campaign. She's a seasoned journalist, and one of the lines that you said to me that sort of stayed with me was wanting to honour someone's story. So as a journalist, Greg, we know the importance of that. So when a person becomes a client, then she's extremely well equipped to, I suppose, honour that story as well and tell a story of their business, of the family, of their tradition, and maybe of the aims and objectives and services that that company provides.
Yeah, for sure. Now, the full interview with Trish, who has worked for many top outlets as a journalist, as Kieran mentioned before, setting up her own PR company. The full interview is available as part of that podcast right now on our website, highlandradio.com, where you can stream it from there or download it, and you can stream it too on Spotify or iTunes. And it's also broadcast on air, Kieran.
Yeah, Greg, after the 6 o'clock news on Sunday evening.
All right, and if anyone wants to contact the podcast, it is...
Yeah, just drop an email, please. businessmatters@highlandradio.com.
Kieran, really appreciate it. Thanks so much for calling up.
Thank you.
We'll chat to you again soon. Thank you very much indeed. Kieran O'Donnell there. Okay, let's get to some more of your comments, which have been coming through throughout the course of this morning. Hi, Greg. Just heard Captain Legwith on there read the 50th anniversary of the 28th Battalion. I served over 30 years in the battalion and haven't received an invitation that he said was sent out. Now, I'm not sure if everyone who has served was invited or how that worked, but it's maybe we can make an inquiry on your behalf if you want to send in your details. Hi, Greg. Could you please highlight the problem of dangerous dogs encountered by walkers every day? A friend of mine was recently cornered by a dog and was lucky to come away unscathed. And to add salt to the wound, this dog has been seen roving the area again a few days later. Owners should be mindful of the dangers of dogs who are not on a leash and should keep their dogs under proper control. And regular listeners will know that that is a topic that emerges on the show on a regular basis. Just more fallout from the budget. A caller says, seemed like a cynical budget. There is an election coming. We want your vote kind of a budget. Well, remains to be seen. I think when we have budgeting in yearly and election cycles, we're always going to have that. I mean, truthfully, we should be budgeting or planning for our health service, our education for decades in advance. You know, even I would argue that some certain headline issues like health, education, you know, mental health supports for children and what have you, there should be a shared responsibility for that. I am not really that interested in two politicians arguing about, you know, whether or not something is good for the people or not. You know, wouldn't it be better if those brains were working together on certain issues? And I know this is ridiculous of me to even suggest, but on certain issues of national importance, like health, like services for children with additional needs, like mental health, you know, like other, you know, the headline stuff, that they all work together and planned 10, 15 years in advance, like we should, rather than, oh, well, this is crap, what you're doing now. When we get in 2 years, this is what we will do. And then the cycle begins all over again. But as I say, I'm being fanciful in that suggestion, but I just think, you know, I'm not interested in people arguing about stuff that means that a 85-year-old person's sitting on an uncomfortable chair for 24 hours. And we're going back to the ED, actually. by coincidence, because Magella has a recent experience and joins us on the programme now. Magella, thanks for your time today.
No bother, Greg. How are you?
I'm okay, Magella, and I hope everyone associated with you is. Talk to us about your experience, I think, just at the start of the weekend in ED.
Yeah, my daughter went down at 9 o'clock on Friday night to casual day, and I just went down shortly after. It was jam-packed. People sitting on floors, sitting on chairs, everywhere. Unbelievable.
Had you seen it before?
I have.
Right, so you knew what
but,
to
but
sort
But it's
of...
getting worse.
Yeah. So... and first off, and all conversations seem to start like this. In your initial contact with us, you praised the nurses and the medical staff for what they were trying to do in this environment.
Yes, the staff are worn down. The nurses are doing a brilliant job on there. Like, my daughter got the best care that she could get. Mm-hmm. She didn't get a bed in a ward. She got a bed, but it wasn't in a ward. It was on a hallway with screens in front of her because there were no bed, no ward to give her.
Now,
she got out yesterday morning again.
Your daughter was not there for the crack. She wasn't sent there by NowDoc or because they couldn't be bothered seeing her. She was there because she needed medical attention and needed to be admitted to the hospital. So, because a lot of people are sort of attributing those type of people for being there, but anyone I speak to, most of the people down there need to be there. So, how did the treatment process work for her? When, for example, did she get off the chair and into a bed?
Saturday evening.
Friday
night, 9 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah.
So not far off 24 hours.
Yeah.
And
there was an older, older lady sitting as well.
Yes.
And she was sitting on a chair. Wow. There were lots more children on as well. So it was just everybody of all ages. And there's nothing you can do. You just have to sit there.
When she got the bed on Saturday night, was it in a ward?
It was in a hallway. A wired corridor.
Okay.
Down at the bottom with a screen in front of her.
The screen was for her privacy in inverted commas, was it?
Yes. Yes.
And you were shocked, and you've outlined it. You were shocked by the amount of people, the crowd, I think you described them as described them as seeking treatment.
Yeah. And everybody, I've been talking to more people enough, and they were all there for. Some people were sent from their doctors, and some was from NowDoc. And but sure, when you're sent in from NowDoc, you have to come in.
Yeah, of course you do. But
the nurses are under so much pressure. Like, my daughter got the best care. The nurses were more than good to her and the ward. But they're run off their feet. And something has to be seriously done because it's not fair. No. On patients sitting on hard seats for 24, 48 hours.
And as you looked around, Magella, because again, a lot of people say the same stuff, did you look around and go, half the people shouldn't be in here? You know, in other words, that they shouldn't have been there, there was no need for them to be there, or did you get the impression that everyone in there was there for a very good reason?
Well, you see, my daughter, to look at her too, you didn't know that she was ill and needed medication, so... Everybody's left. You just don't have all broken bones. That's that and other.
100%.
There's a lot of hidden illnesses in your body.
And we were talking then to the GPs about the reluctance for people to go into ED. I mean, obviously, if we needed to go into ED, we will go in. But if, God forbid, you were sat in front of you, the GP, and they said, right, we're going to have to refer you in, it's not an experience. You would never look forward to it. But can you understand why some people, particularly older people, go, I'm not going in?
I can understand that 100% because they're sitting there in tired chairs. And, I mean, it's not right. I mean, don't get me wrong. If you're sitting out in the casualty department, people come round, you know, when you're on a patient in the cubicles, they go round with tea, coffee, sandwiches and all, like a patient's the way I looked about. But for an old person to go on there, or for anybody.
Yeah. Okay. I hope everything's okay, Magella. Obviously, it's your own daughter's private information. I'm not asking that, but I hope she's okay and you're okay. And thank you very much for sharing the story.
No problem. Great.
Okay,
thank
take
you.
Take care, Magella. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
086 60 25,000, another very familiar story, unfortunately. If you want to get involved in that conversation and lend your voice, please do. 086 60 25,000. Heading towards the end of the show, but time for some more comments here. Well, what is going on in Letterkenny Hospital? So that's in response. That came in as we were talking about extra funding for hospitals. Hi, Greg. Don't think the average wage is 40 or 45,000 a year in Donegal. No, a few of you have made that point, and I'm pleased that I picked up on that early on. Does your commentator know what 12 euro will buy you today? One fish supper. This government is a complete joke. It's a budget for the rich and let the poor suffer once again. And I just, there seems to be less for those on less, but that just seems to be a regular occurrence. On the matter of health, early intervention is the best, plus more cost-effective too. The longer our people are in the ED, the more complicated the reason they are there for will become, plus higher likelihood of them dying. The government seemingly doesn't care, especially about Donegal. Homelessness is the same as health. The earlier someone gets housed, the less psychological and physical health problems they will experience. But they say they feel, and it's just what they feel, the government don't care. Hi, Greg. Could you ask Piers Doherty what Sinn Féin's policy is on inheritance tax? Would they scrap it? Well, we could try and get an answer to that for you. I don't know the answer off the top of my head. Hi, just wondering, why is Eamon Ryan not pushing to make all houses that have to be rebuilt because of MICA eco-friendly? Is this not a great opportunity for the Green Party to help people out? One of the strangest elements of, and there are quite a few, of the defective concrete redress scheme is the fact that houses are to be built to older standards. It is, it's an odd one. The electricity payment of 150 doesn't even cover what this government did behind our backs. Linked to the story on the dirty tricks that the government did, which of course is a link, and there's not much I can do to show you that because it is radio. Okay, listen, thank you so much for keeping us busy all day. I really do appreciate it. Anything we didn't get to, we'll carry on to the morning. But for me, Greg Hughes and Caroline Orr, who researched and produced, and Grace, who worked on the show with us today, have a lovely Wednesday. We're back tomorrow, Thursday.